I want you to go back to Matthew. I'm going to correct something from last week. I was in error. Matthew 24. I've said I thought this was in the gathering together, and I was wrong. But there's, really two gathering togethers. There's the gathering together of the church, and then there's the gathering together of the believers after we go, and after those that believe during the great persecution, or the times of trouble. So in verse 30, it says, "Then there shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." From what I understand of the word, what I've read, there are no signs in the Bible of Jesus Christ coming back to gather the church, which is one of the things that many Christians get tripped over. They look at the stuff we read yesterday about wars and rumors of wars and all that stuff, and then something goes off in the east, in the Middle East, and they go, "This is a sign that Christ is coming back." And that just is not true. Remember in Acts, when Jesus Christ was asked of his disciples when, the kingdom of God would be reestablished, he said, "No man knows the times and the seasons." So anyway, it says, "There shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven." This is, having to do when he comes back with the church and with his angels. "And shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." When he comes back to gather the church, he gathers the church, not the angels. It says we meet him in the air, and we're ever with him. So then when we get the verse 40, it says, Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and one the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And so, but this has to do with Christ coming back later on. And then in verse, well, I think that's what we need to cover to talk about it. Of course, in Corinthians chapter 15, it says that the mystery, or the gathering together of the church, was a mystery that was revealed to Paul. So now we're going to go back to John chapter 13, where we left off. We're going to go back a little bit. Want to pick up right after he finishes washing their feet. This was a great, I guess you would call it an object lesson for the apostles. The Middle East culture at the time was, when you had guests at your house, the lowest servant, the guy in the bottom of the totem pole, the trainee, or the guy least respected, would be the one that would have the job of washing the feet of the guests. And so Jesus Christ does that for the apostles. And of course, that really takes them out, I guess. It had to have shocked them. But he did it for a very important point. He wanted to show them what true service was. So we'll pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 13 of John. It says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done to you? You call me master and lord, and you say, Well, for so I am." So they call him master and lord. The word master means teacher, And the Lord is kurios, which means master. I don't know why they translated it that way, but that's what they did. So you call me teacher and you call me master. And you say, well, for so I am. Well, how many times do you see a master of the house wash the feet of the servants, right? Or his guests? It doesn't happen like that. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So it's pretty plain and simple what he's doing. He's setting an example for them of how they should treat one another, how they should serve one another, that nobody should be high and mighty above one another. For I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So he's saying, this is your example. And this is what you need to learn. He said, you need to serve one another. You need to do your best for one another. Verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Speaking of Judas, of course. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So here he's teaching them and explaining to them about their relationship with him, with each other, and with God. If they don't receive Jesus Christ, they don't receive God. If they receive Jesus Christ, then they're receiving God. Then the disciples looked at one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be to whom he spake, of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, is he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have sop dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, he had the money bag, he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. I think we'll stop there and we'll go to chapter 14. Because it doesn't really pertain to what we're looking at. In the rest of chapter 13, Jesus Christ talks to Peter about denying him and so on. Chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The word mansions means rooms. he's going to prepare a place for them. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wow, what a great principle that is, and what a great understanding. We understand the way to get born again is to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So that means, you know, we get to the Father through believing on Jesus Christ and what God accomplished. Many people think they have to do good works, or they have to do this, or they have to do that. They have to say special prayers, or they have to confess. But Jesus Christ said it very simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So what's he saying to Philip? He said, you know, you've seen the things that I do. You know, I always do the will of the Father. I always do the things that please the Father. I do the works of the Father. So when you've seen me and you've seen what I'm doing, you've seen the Father. You've seen what he does. You see his works. You see his heart. You see his words. You hear his words. Then he says in verse 12, that very great verse, verily, verily, or amen and amen, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So that's a great promise there. Believe on him. Believe on me. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now that's a pretty big deal. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Can't be any simpler, can it? If we love God, we keep his word, right? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Here Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's speaking to his disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The word comforter is an interesting word. In the ESV, they translated it helper. But when Danny Bader was here last year and he was teaching on, what did he teach on last year? Matthew?
John.
He taught on John. Yeah. He said that they worked the word, and he thought liaison was the best translation for that word. I don't know, but it's interesting. But anyway, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So that's, you know, he's with you, the Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you in the future, right? Not at that moment in time, but he's preparing them and teaching them about what's coming in the future. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Again, that day in the future. He that hath commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Again, he's preparing them for the future, isn't he? He's taken a lot of time, and you know, they've been with him for all these months. They've lived with him, they've ate with him, they've seen the miracles, they've seen him tame the storms, heal the sick, raise the dead. And then he tells them this stuff. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Take note, Greg. He had the name tag. Judas, not Iscariot. Mm-hmm. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's a pretty great promise too. If we keep the words, if they keep the words of Jesus Christ, he said, my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will be with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, that's a great thing too, because as you go along, you know, there's different places in here where it says the apostles remembered that Jesus Christ said something. And at times they forgot, and then he would bring it to their remembrance, or something would happen that would jar their memory and say, he told us about that. Oh, yeah. So it says here, and he will bring all things, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now that's a great verse there. Trinitarian doctrine says that they're equal, that Jesus Christ is God, but here he says, my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go thence. So, you know, he's teaching them a lot in these last couple of hours that he has with them, because this is the night of the Last Supper, and pretty soon he's going to be taken from them. So he's getting every little chance, every little bit of information into them that he can. Chapter 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I want you to hold your place here and go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard, that I have not done it in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. God's talking about Israel. Israel is his vineyard. He planted them, and they didn't bring forth good grapes. They brought forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for the righteous, but behold, a cry. So, back to John. Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So, you know, even though Israel brought forth wild grapes, and God, you know, broke down the walls and the fences, and the vine got trodden down, the true vine, Jesus Christ, came. Every branch in me, verse 2, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what purgeth means? It means that he trims it, he prunes it so it's, you know, gives good fruit. The other branches that don't give good fruit, they take away and cut off and burn. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Remember, Jesus Christ said that he could do nothing of himself. He had to rely on God. God had to show him. And he's saying the same thing to his disciples. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Remember when he taught them about the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, how they did everything for their own gain. It wasn't for love. You know, God defined love, and Jesus Christ defined love. And one of the things he did is he showed them by serving them, by doing for them, putting them first above himself, and putting God first above everything. So verse 11 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's his commandment to them. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, sometimes the world tries to make believers believe that it loves them. It tries to seduce them with all kinds of things. But it's not true love. It's not real love, is it? It's not godly love. It's selfish. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You know, Jesus Christ came, and people thought that the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were so very religious and so godly until Jesus Christ shined the light on them and made it very apparent and clear that they weren't so godly, that they weren't anywhere near godly. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other men did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass. This cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. You know, Jesus taught his disciples in word and deed. Right? They saw him in action. They lived with him. They ate with him. They traveled with him. He taught them concerning the leaven of the Pharisees. He taught them and showed them the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, how corrupt and phony they were, in contrast to how they were to be, to love one another, to serve one another. He taught them and showed them what true service was. He taught them about their relationship with one another and with their Father God. He taught them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he commanded them to love one another. You know, when he showed the comparison with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, what did he show? He showed how the most important thing for them was to have power, to have money, to have control of people. And he showed in comparison how he loved people and how he served and how they were to serve one another. What a difference. And you see that even today in religion. People, kiss the ring of a high-ranking clergyman, or you know, they live in fancy houses with robes and jewels and all that stuff. John 16. John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. The word offended is scandalizo, where we get scandaled. You know? They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Well, that came to pass later on, didn't it? A number of disciples were killed, and Stephen would be one of them, right? James would be another. They attempted to kill Peter, and they thought that they were doing God a service. Just didn't know which God. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. The whole history of Israel, the whole plan of God was to bring the Messiah because he promised Abraham, and he promised Isaac, and he promised Jacob, who was renamed Israel. They were to look for that promised Messiah, the Christ. And yet when he came, what did they do? They rejected him. They didn't wait for him. They didn't look for him. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I have told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. You know, he knew that they were sorry and sad because he was telling them this stuff. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You know, that's really important. He was trying to explain to them why he had to go and why the greater blessing would be that God would send Holy Spirit to everyone that believed. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of the sin and the righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove is the word convict, or it could be translated to shed light on. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And to bear means to be able to handle it, basically. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, they've been with Jesus Christ. They realized he was the Christ. They thought he was going to change the world. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really understand the spiritual implications. They still were, to some degree, five senses men, even though they spent that much time with him. And, you know, they were looking for him to establish Israel as the great kingdom on earth. But he's preparing them and telling them, look, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and that's going to lead you into the all truth. And he'll show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to my Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. You know, we don't understand what he's talking about. He did, but they didn't. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? You know, what's going on here, Jesus? We don't understand what you're talking about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So he's telling them what's going to happen, but they don't really understand it. We understand it because we see things from, you know, way ahead. We know what happened, but they didn't. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. The word Proverbs there is obscure sayings. And in the ESV, they translate it figures of speech. I have spoken to you in figures of speech. In other words, he wasn't speaking to him literally. They didn't understand all. Remember, many times he spoke in parables, right? Or taught in parables. And they would come and they'd say, okay, Jesus, what does this mean? We don't know, Lord, what are you talking about? What is, you know, what was the sower and the seed? And he explained it to him. He said, you know, it's on stony ground. It doesn't have any root. It doesn't grow up. Another place, the birds come and peck away and steal it, so forth. And then the seed is put in solid ground, on good ground, and it brings forth fruit 40, 60, 100 fold, whatever. You know, they would go and they would ask him these explanations, but not always. And sometimes he spoke and it wasn't clear to them, partially because he was speaking of the future and they couldn't understand it. But he said, you know, I will show you plainly these things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh soon in the future when I will no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I'll show you plainly of the Father. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from the from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God, or camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, and every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So then chapter 17 is a prayer that Jesus Christ prays as they're on the way to the garden. So then that brings us to the garden. I think you could probably read the prayer yourself. It's a pretty good prayer. Because then at the end of the prayer, they're in the garden. And then, of course, he goes off to pray. And then Judas betrays him. And he gets arrested. You know, and then he gets arrested, and then the disciples desert. They go run off and hide. Jesus Christ had indicated that he had more to say and teach to his disciples, especially the 12. So after his resurrection, he still has more to show and teach them. Let's go to Mark 16. So he did all his teaching. In a very short time, he taught them about the Pharisees and the scribes. He taught them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, preparing them for what they would have to deal with after his death and resurrection and ascension. But in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 9, this is after the resurrection. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. You know, these 11 believed not. That's amazing. After that, he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and went into the country, speaking of the two guys that were going to Emmaus. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. So Mary comes and tells them she sees them. And then these two men that he met on the road to Emmaus tell them, and they don't believe them either. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. The 11, because Thomas was not there, remember?
Right.
And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's what he's telling them now. He's giving them instructions. Telling them what they are to do. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not to animals, but to every human being. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't say you got to make everybody believe, because he knew everybody would not believe, right? But he said, preach it to everybody, and those that will believe will get saved, and those that not will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then he goes away. You know, and back in verse 14, it says, when they sat at meat, that word sat means they reclined, by the way. Because we know that the picture of the Last Supper that's so famous is not accurate at all, because they didn't sit in chairs. They laid down on like pillows around a low table. Anyway, Luke chapter 24. So Jesus Christ taught them the whole time they were with him. Then the last night that he was alive, he really taught them a lot. And then after he was resurrected, he taught them some more. Chapter 24, verse 13. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. 24:34.
Oh, 34, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That's the two guys from on the road to Emmaus when they came back. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They thought they saw a ghost. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For that a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So we know that in the resurrected body, Jesus Christ had flesh and bones. It doesn't say what kind of life was in that flesh and bones. Doesn't say anything about blood. Doesn't say that he had breath life. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So that covers the word of God, doesn't it? The Old Testament. He said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, or the other writings, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus, he said he opened up the scriptures and showed them everywhere from Moses on that pertained to him. And they said, did our heart not burn within us? And here he opened up the scriptures that they would understand. All that were written pertaining to him and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So here we have a little bit more information, more than we had in Mark, where he said he should go out and preach to every creature. Here it says they should preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all the nations. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so that was his instruction there. Instruction for receiving the Holy Spirit. Stay in Jerusalem and you will be endued with power from on high. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. It says, and they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's a pretty amazing statement. We know in Corinthians that it says, all things will be put under his feet, except him that put it under his feet, which is God. And then everything will be subject unto him, but he'll be subject unto God. So here it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Son, of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know that this verse is not accurate. It's in the Greek manuscripts and in the critical Greek texts. But they only go back to the 4th century. Writings that survive, that are earlier, not manuscripts of the scriptures, but writings of men that wrote concerning things, believers and so on. And if they quoted scripture, when they quoted this section, they would not quote this at all, or they would quote, baptizing them in my name, because Jesus Christ was speaking. Also, when you go to the book of Acts and you read in the epistles and other places, they never did this. So either the apostles were extremely disobedient or they never got this commandment. Anyway, he goes on, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And what did he teach them? To obey the words of God and to love one another. And let's go to John 20. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, is one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Okay, we're going to stop there. And then we'll do chapter 21 next week and go on to other things. Woohoo. But Jesus Christ, you know, he taught them all those months. He spent so much time with them, but then on that last night, he got every bit of information he could into them, the things they needed to hear, the things that would make a difference later on when they went out to speak the word of God. And then he especially instructed them on receiving the Holy Spirit and showed them what true love and true service was so that they could go out and present something so different to the world that they had never seen. Not a religion, but a way of life with God the Father. So that's what he did. That's what he taught them. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the rabbis could teach the law, but they taught it with that heart. They didn't understand it. They didn't see the love of God behind it. Jesus Christ did, and that's what he showed the disciples. You know, when they asked him what was the greatest law, he said, what? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. That's what he taught them. That's what he showed them. So, amen and amen. Have a great night.